Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So, today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 2, Divinity and Devotional Service, text number 16. Shushru Shyo Shradadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syamahat Sevaya Vipra Punyatirta Nishevanant. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev, Purpun. The conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. There are men called deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, a vivid description of the asuras is given, in which it is said that the asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms, and have no information of the Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead. These asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the Supreme Will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord. And when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the asuras, and the demoniac followers of such asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to the particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands, chant the name of Lord Vishnu. He strongly protested against being called God, although undoubtedly he was God himself. The Lord behaves so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita 18:69 that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering into the kingdom of God. Omagyanatimadandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. This is one of the most important verses in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Why?
It explains that we really need to serve the devotees.
Yes, because right now we're contaminated. By anartav. So, right now we are not getting that taste. Of course, there is some taste, otherwise, how we are doing. But compared to the actual taste, ruchi, which is one of the steps on the pathway of perfection, that is shraddha, sadhusanga, bhajana kriya, anarta navritti, nishta, ruchi. That's a very high platform to actually get taste. So we're far from that platform at the present time. So it's very, very essential that we can actually get taste. Bhaktivedanta Thakur, he is praying like that. He is hankering for that taste. He says, Zaparara Guchi Shudaname Ruchi Kripa Bole Habe Hirido Ye Sancha Kabe Habe Bolo Sedinamar. For those who don't know Bengali, you can sing it in English also. When my offense is ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? When, oh, when will that day be mine? So, he's hankering for ruchi, you see. When my offense is ceasing. So right now, we are covered, we are not getting that ruchi because of the fact that we are Nam aparadhis. We're committing offenses against the name. So we actually gave a whole seminar in New Govardhan on loving the Vaishnavas. It's so essential. We've seen people sometimes come to the temples. Yes, I am Krishna conscious. And when it comes to lecture time, they sit and just look at the deities. And they refuse to look at the speaker. They sit very proudly looking at the deities.
We drink devotion and look at not like that.
I have seen. You have not seen? I have seen. Yes. They sit very proudly looking at the deities.
Yeah, they are very observing deities.
I have seen how they sit very proudly. You may not have seen, but I have seen when I was giving a lecture in Denver. I saw how proudly they are sitting. That I am great because I am looking at the deity. I have seen. And they wouldn't, even though I actually had known these people personally, when I used to do the travel business, they used to buy tickets from me to Vrindavan. I knew them personally, and they wouldn't even look at me during the whole lecture. I kept smiling at them, trying to evoke some kind of rust. But they just, it was like, yes, you did not see? So in this way, you see, this mood, this is called Kanishta Adhikari.
I saw others also.
There are others, see. So, it is called I respect the deities. But there's no way I'm going to respect those devotees. because they're low class.
Who are they, kind of?
Hmm?
Who are they?
Yeah, who they think they are anyway. You know, I'm much more exalted than these devotees at this temple. I'm much more exalted than the devotees, so, you know, I don't need... They need me, but I don't need them. So, this sort of mentality that I am great, they are not so great, and you know, this mentality keeps us from advancing in Krishna consciousness, because we are committing, by our very attitude, we are committing Vaishnavapara. Vaishnavaparad is the most dangerous of all the offenses. It is called Hati Matta. When you hear from the bona fide spiritual master the pure glorification of Lord Sri Krishna, if you hear submissively, then the seed of love of God becomes planted within your heart. And by regularly hearing and chanting, and by protecting that garden from weeds, namely illicit sex life, intoxication, meeting, and gambling, then that little creeper is going to grow. However, if some crazy elephant comes in, trampling through, a mad elephant comes through your garden, 1 foot on that creeper, and it is finished, smashed into the ground. So it is explained in Prabhupada's books that you build a very strong fence around that garden. Keeping the weeds out is not enough. You also require a very, very good fence. So one could say, all right, very good. I won't commit any Vaishnava aparadha. I won't commit any Vaishnava aparadha. Now, what's wrong with that concept? It's a bona fide concept, but that is incomplete. I mean, always be very careful, never commit any Vaishnavapara. What is incomplete about that? The incompleteness is, if that's all, if that is your only attitude, then you're like the Mayavadis, you see. They say, I will remain inactive. Let's see. I will not act. I will do nothing. And that way I won't create any karma. But actually they're doing so many things. He who sees action in inaction and inaction in action, Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita. So, the Mayavadi, he's trying to be inactive, but yet he is active in so many ways. Just by inhaling, he is committing mass murder. So many microbial germs he is assassinating, you see. He's a mass terrorist with every inhalation. And he gets the karma also. You see, that's why the Jains tried to stop it, but their little, you know, the Jain mask doesn't block out all the microbial germs. So, what to do? Do you know the ambulance driver can run a red light without getting a ticket? Why? If he's on an emergency run, he can run the red light, you see, without getting a ticket. He might even get a police escort to help him run every red light between there in the hospital. If it's a big, important patient, he may get a police escort to block every intersection. So, if you're engaged in the service of the Lord, there's no karma. It's all neutralized. So, there has to be a positive thing also. That's the point. If one simply says, I will not offend any Vaishnavas, but I won't serve them either, you see, I just won't do. I'll just remain inactive. Then, but your attitude is actually offensive. If one doesn't want to serve the Vaishnavas, wants to avoid serving the Vaishnavas, says, well, I won't commit any aparad. But you're already committing an aparad. The point is, if one takes up the positive action of Vaishnava Seva if one actually develops loving feelings for the devotees, then automatically there's no offenses. If one is in a mood of love, then there's no offense. Even if some little point of etiquette, you see, you've overstepped. Just like you're not supposed to, if a Vaishnava is lying down somewhere, you're not supposed to step over his body. That's an offense. You see? So, Govinda, during Chaitanya Leela, his service was to massage the Lord's body. Lord Chaitanya, he would massage him, daily massage. So, Lord Chaitanya fell asleep in the doorway. And he needed to be on the other side of the Lord's body, inside the room, to massage him. So he stepped over the Lord's body, so he could massage him, you see. Now that was a transgression of Vaishnava etiquette, that he stepped over the Lord's body, but because he was doing so in the mood of loving service to the Lord, therefore it was not taken as an offense. So Lord Chaitanya woke up. He says, Govinda. Lord Chaitanya noticed the time. It was after the lunch hour. He said, you have not taken your lunch. He saw that he was inside the room. He hadn't taken his lunch. He said, yes, my Lord, I cannot cross over your body. He said, but how did you get in here? I crossed over your body. He said, but how is that? He said, I can cross over your body for your service, but not for my sense gratification. You see? So, if that mood of service is there, that's the important thing. So this desire to serve the devotees, you see, it's such an important thing. This eagerness to serve the Vaishnavas, this is how we attract the special mercy of Krishna and develop a taste for hearing about Krishna more and more and more. You ever wonder why you don't have as much taste as Haridas Thakur does for chanting Hare Krishna? We simply have to increase our mood of service to the Vaishnavas. This way after that. For all the Vaishnavas. Now, for somebody, of course, here it mentions the pure devotees. Those who are completely free from all vice. So especially advanced devotees. But it doesn't exclude other devotees also. Actually, every devotee we should be very eager to serve. Because the preacher, as mentioned here, is a primary example of someone that we would serve, you see. The Mahatmas, the Tirthas, who are fully absorbed in preaching Krishna consciousness. What is their qualification? They are sacrificing everything to give their love to all living beings, you see. They want to give loving kindness to every single living being, to help that living being come to Krishna consciousness. They risk everything for the service of the Lord, risking everything to preach His glory. So the point is, those Mahatmas, those Tirthas, they're in the mood of giving loving service to every single living entity. They don't think, well, here's a devotee and I'll be loving to him. Here's a non-devotee, you know, to hell with him. No. The actual Mahatmas or Tirthas, the ideal devotees, they are giving their love to everyone without any discrimination. They just see, here's a living entity, part and parcel of Krishna. I must serve this living entity by reconnecting him with Krishna. So we can understand from the example of these great Mahatmas who are mentioned here. The great Mahatmas who are free from all vice, they not only serve other Mahatmas who are free from all vice, but they serve all varieties of devotees, beginning devotees, Kanishta devotees, who just look at the deities only. They serve them. They serve the Majjhams, they serve the Uttamas, and they serve the non-devotees also by helping them to become devotees. by giving them Prabhupada's books, by telling them about Krishna, etc. Just like now there's a book marathon going on, you see. The Mahatmas are out there giving the mercy to everyone without any discrimination. In this way they're very, very dear to the Lord. So, this service mood should be actually unrestricted. But especially we give service to those who are our superiors. That is mentioned in the Shastra. The devotees who are more advanced, we are very eager to serve them and to learn from them. That eagerness to hear and serve from those devotees who are our seniors, more advanced than us, that is the secret of how to advance very quickly in Krishna consciousness. And for those who are equal, we make nice friendship with them, we share realizations. Those who are junior to us, we're very kind to them to help them come up in Krishna consciousness. So we in three varieties of ways, we engage in loving activities with all living entities. With all living entities. And by doing so, we become more and more and more and more attracted to hearing about Krishna. We just came from the serene, sublime, mountainous valley of New Govardhan. You see, you just get excited just by gazing out. You just become, there's the cows down there, there's the geese, you know, the peacocks. Kirtan going on, the deities are incredibly beautiful, Govardhan Tari, and everything so serene and wonderful. So many varieties of birds and fruits and flowers, and so beautiful and wonderful. Then you come into this congested city. You come from that serene sattvic atmosphere here into the Rajagun and then, you know, the Tamagun. But actually, you know, I'm very enlivened to be here in Sydney. You know what? Because wherever the name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, dham, qualities, and instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are being chanted, heard, and remembered, that's even better than the country. That's called a transcendental atmosphere. Of course, you can do that in the country also. But once you come to that position of being absorbed in hearing and chanting, remembering the glories of God, that is the transcendental atmosphere. That's better than any countryside, which is simply sattva-gun. This is Shuddha Sattva, where Krishna Katha is going on. Much chitta madgata parana bodhiyantak parasparam. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered unto me, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is the ultimate platform of enjoyment. You see, it's much higher than, you know, beautiful mountains and, you know, crystal clear flowing waters. That's nothing compared to Krishna Katha. Nothing. This is the supreme enjoyment. Prabhupada, wherever he went, he was living in Vrindavan. You see. Why? Because he's completely attached to Krishna. That is the meaning of Vrindavan. Attached to Krishna. That's all. You see. And in Vrindavan, everything is attached to Krishna. Even as the water is Prabhupada, even the water is attached to Krishna. Everything's attached to it. That is Vrindavan. So, if we are simply attached to Krishna, then we are living in Vrindavan. And how do you get attached to Krishna? He's millions of miles away, millions of light years away, beyond the coverings of this material universe. You get attached to his devotees. By this loving service. The more you give loving service to someone, the more you become attached to them, isn't it? So we say, you must become free from all material attachments. You see, with the sword of knowledge, you must cut through all those material attachments. So, can we live in a state of disattachment? No. Cannot do that. Our nature is to be attached. So, we have to attach ourselves. The only way to get free of material attachments is to become extremely entangled in spiritual attachments. That's the key. You get so attached to Krishna through so many varieties of ways, you see. Attached to the holy names, attached to the Bhagavatam, attached to the Bhagavad Gita, attached to the songs of Bhaktivinoda, attached to the songs of Naratam, attached to the deities, attached to the devotees, attached to, you know, the book distribution, attached to this, that, so many things. Singing bhajans, you know, there's no prasadam, you know, just, you could make a list of all the things you can get attached to. Every single devotee in the movement is another object that you can get attached to. Guru, Vaishnavas, Nanande Bolo Hari Bhajavrindavan, Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Mojayaman. Narottam is telling us. Narottam Das Thakur. You simply ecstatically chant this Hare Krishna mantra. And you worship that Sri Vrindavan Dham. And within your mind you worship the lotus feet of Sri Guru and lotus feet of the Vaishnavas also. So this is called becoming attached. Become attached to the holy name, attached to the holy Dham, attached to Sri Guru, and attached to Vaishnava. These four things he mentions. This is his instruction to us. From his enlightened platform of pure Krishna Bhakti, he's giving us the mercy. He's giving us these four things to get attached to. Hare Krishna, Vrindavan, Guru, and Vaishnavas. So we have to get more and more entangled in this loving network. It is called ISKCON. It's not the buildings. It's the loving network of attachment which is going on amongst all the followers of Prabhupada, you see. That is the real meaning of ISKCON. ISKCON is a facility for the devotees to serve the Vaishnavas. In this way, develop their taste more and more for Krishna consciousness. So, that being said, we can ask if there's any questions.
I was just wondering, you mentioned all those four things, Vrindavan was there, like we're living in Sydney, and you did mention Vrindavan.
You're not attached to Vrindavan?
I want a hanker to go there.
Oh, that's good. You're already attached to Vrindavan.
But,
you have not seen Vrindavan?
I have, yes.
So you're already attached to Vrindavan. You're in good shape. But Vrindavan also means every ISKCON center is also Vrindavan. You see, it's like New Govardhan, that is also Vrindavan. Every ISKCON center, and even in your own home, this room is Vrindavan. You see, your temple room is Vrindavan. You become attached to your altar. You see, who can say this is not Vrindavan? See, this is Vrindavan right here. So that also means, like that. Vrindavan means that place where Krishna is the central object of attraction. Wherever Krishna, any place where Krishna is the center, that is Vrindavan. And if you have an affinity for those kinds of places, you know, you'd rather go to the temple than to go to the cinema, you see. The latest Bollywood, Hindi extravaganza, you know. Being touted at the Indian grocery stores. Yeah, this is the best one yet. You know, like, I gotta go.
It's a piganza.
Huh?
It's a piganza. It's not extravaganza. It's a piganza.
Pigaganza? Yeah, if you, I mean, if you think that, forget it. Yeah. But someone is wants to go there, but rather than go to the temple, then you know, their spiritual life will not really manifest. They may think they're enjoying. We've seen practically. We set up a book table at the Indian grocery store, and everybody pulls up in their Mercedes, you know, showing off their, you know, high-end cars. Yes, I have made it now. I am big sahib here in the West. Yes. And we have our book table there, and they won't even look at the books. They just go in and get the latest, you know, Bollywood movie. They hardly even buy the groceries. They just come for the movies, you know. So, yeah.
But why is this majority?
Hmm?
Why is this a majority? Why are majority people attracted and not attracted to Krishna?
Actually, it is not a majority. You're just thinking it's majority. The vast majority of living entities never left the spiritual world. Only a small, insignificant fraction of the jivas have come to the prison house of material existence because of their desire to become God. As Prabhupada mentions here, revolting against the Supreme. First sentence, the conditioned life of a living being is caused by his revolting against the Lord. It is a practically infinitesimal percentage of the living entities that revolt against the Lord. It's a very, very infinitesimal fraction. But when you apply that infinitesimal fraction against an infinitude of living entities in the spiritual world, then you get a large number. Even a small fraction of infinity is still infinity. If you take half of infinity, it's still infinity. So there's an infinite number of jivas, and even if a small, you know, 0.00000000000, the 11, you know, a million zeros, you know, 1% of the infinite number of living entities revolt against the Lord, that's still a huge number. It's an infinite number. So don't think that actually that it's a large percentage. It's an extremely small percentage who revolted. You're not seeing the spiritual world right now. How many living entities are serving the Lord in pure bhakti this very minute? You're not seeing what's happening in the bank of the Jamuna right now in Goloka Vrindavan. You see where Krishna is there, the cows are there, Balaram is there. So many cows, huge number of cows, all pure devotees, you know, having their relationship with Krishna. So many cowherd boys, and then in the evening, switches over to the cowherd girl program. Krishna pretends to go to sleep. Mother Jasoda and Nanda are saying, oh yes, now our Krishna is taking his rest, but actually he's out there in the forest with the girls.
Is that all the time?
Yes, well.
Is that all the time?
Huh?
Is that all the time?
Nitya Leela, actually, all the Leelas are happening simultaneously. The time doesn't function like it does here. Actually, the Leelas are Nitya Leela. They're actually going, all the Leelas are happening simultaneously. It's like a million ring circus. Everything's happening at once. So Krishna's reciprocating with all his devotees according to their desire to love and serve him in different ways. At every minute, there's no end to the nectar. It's unlimited nectar in Goloka Vrindavan. You can't quantify it.
Then there won't be a question of day and night, would it?
Day and night are happening simultaneously.
Yes, simultaneously. Then
sunrise is happening. It's like on this planet. Try to understand. The day and night are happening simultaneously here.
Yeah, okay.
Sunrise and sunset are going on eternally, even in this material world.
Yeah.
So what does speak of the spiritual world? Try to understand.
Yeah. But the thing I'm trying to, maybe I'm not making it clear. Because if Krishna is daytime with the boys and at night he goes off, the simultaneously happenings, so then Krishna is with the boys and Krishna is with the girls.
Yes, and he's also going out, he's also making his escape also at every minute too. And coming back at every minute also. Yeah. It's called Achincha Leela. And if you want to know what it's like, then you don't expect that you can figure it out with your tiny brain. You simply must go there. That's all. And then you really know what is Krishna's pastime. Of course, we don't know. We're simply speaking from what we have heard from Srila Prabhupada. But we know it's great.
Do living entities who are in, I mean, is there a reference anywhere that living entities in spiritual world know that they are in spiritual world and not in the material world?
Prabhupada, when I was in Vrindavan, every morning they put a letter on Prabhupada's desk, because it's Prabhupada, and they have the diorama, or the murti. They put a pen in his hand as if he's signing a letter, just having dictated it and having it typed up. That's how that's the leela that they depict Prabhupada in Vrindavan, in his room. So every day they put a new letter in there. So I noticed that Gopal Krishna Maharaj, whenever he comes in there, he always takes the letter and reads it. So I got in that habit also. I learned that from Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Whenever you go to Prabhupada's room, you take the letter and you read it, because it's every day a different letter. So one day I was in there reading the letter, and I found it in the Veda base also. Yeah. So you can also read it if you want. But Prabhupada is saying that when you go back to Godhead, you will remember your devotional activities in this world. Just like this conversation we're having right now. When you go back to the spiritual world, you will remember that you were sitting here in front of Radha Damodar and you were having this conversation. It'll all be remembered. All your devotional activities you're doing now will be remembered. So you'll remember Sydney. You see that how you discovered Krishna consciousness in Sydney, Australia, or wherever you discovered it. Those things will be remembered. And that will actually increase the taste, the relish that you're enjoying in Vrindavan. To think how Vrindavan has had, by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. All these things that we remember, yes. We remember all of it. So, the moral of the story is, do first-class devotional service right now, because you don't want to have embarrassing memories. Do everything first-class right now. Every thought, every word and every deed, make it first class. In all times, all places, and all circumstances.
But isn't that good also to have the embarrassing memories?
Yes, you can use everything for your advantage.
You won't have to come down.
You can do everything for your advantage, that's right. Everything for your advantage.
Just like Yamunacharya remembers.
Yes. Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna padaravinde. Nava nava rasa damanu yatarantu masit tadavadi bhattanari sangame smaryamani bhavati mukushushtu nishtivanamcha. He says, now that I am engaged in serving Lord Shishi, Radha, and Krishna, tasting, what am I experiencing now? And that's Radha Krishna Seva, nava nava rasa. Newer and newer taste, ever increasing sweetness, you see. Nava nava rasa. Now that I'm giving this nava nava rasa, whenever the thought of having sex crosses my brain, my lips curl with this taste and I spit at the thought. Because even though he got a start as a devotee, he became king and got a little diverted there for a while. You know, king means so much sex pleasure. Not the queens are there, the maidservants are there, it's a big, huge harem for the king. So he got diverted. Got diverted from pure bhakti. But finally he came solidly situated. He was just, when those memories came, immediately spit. This is called higher taste, you see. Karma, he's running. Where is sex pleasure? Where is sex pleasure? Where is pornography? Where is topless, bottomless, you see? He's running. Where is it? Where can I find it? You're in Sydney. The devotee just spits. But who wants that pig life? You see, when I can relish the sweet nectar of Krishna's holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Questions more? So now you, there's no more questions. You have all the answers now. You fully realize Krishna. There's no more questions.
It's not like that.
No more obstacles to overcome. We're already there. Uttama Adhikaris.
We don't know what the obstacles are.
Huh?
We don't know what the obstacles are.
Huh?
This point on obstacles.
Yes. When one is very conditioned, one doesn't see that one is conditioned. Actually, there was one mundane novel which very much, the title, I didn't read the book, but years ago I heard the title before I became a devotee. But the title was, I've been down so long, it looks like up to me. So that is what happens, because the nature of the living entity is to enjoy it. It is his natural constitutional position. You see, anandamayo bhyasat, my constitution, the living entity, is an enjoyer. So therefore, he extrapolates enjoyment out of the suffering. He imagines that the suffering is enjoyment. I've been down so long, now it looks like up. I've been suffering for so long that now it looks like enjoyment to me. He concocts in his mind that this is actually enjoyment. Sex, you see, intoxication, meat eating, gambling. Actually, they're miserable activities. And because his nature is to enjoy, therefore he imagines them to be enjoyable. That's all. But there's actually no enjoyment in them. They're suffering conditions. Questions further? So, if there's no more questions, we will stop here. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, ki jai, Srila Prabhupada, ki jai.